Praise the Lord. Let's go to John 3:16. That's been our launching point. And it'll continue to be our launching point until God tells us something else. And then after we go to John 3:16, I'm going to share John 13, 34, and 35 out of the Amplified Bible. But let's go to John 3:16. It doesn't matter what translation, that whatever translation you have, just read verse 16 out loud, please. Are we ready? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John 13 says, I give to you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Now, has anyone other than me ever had a plan and it seemed like it would just unravel and come to pieces and you just couldn't figure out why? Okay. You know, it's a particular path that you thought you wanted to go, and then for some reason, it just wasn't there. And we said, well, I guess that door closed. And sometimes we get upset and we go with all the keys we know and try and open it again. But no matter what we do, it just doesn't seem to work. Well, I found out, in the last 48 hours, and you're going to find out that it's not so much that the door closed. God was pruning some things concerning you. Because God knows that some things that we want to do, not only are they not in line with his plan for us, but doing so could be detrimental to us. So he'll have to cut some things away. We'll have to allow him to cut some things away and just know that it's from him, it's of him, and we're going to be better for it. Let's go to Genesis 1. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to get through all of this. And so the next Sunday that I come back, I don't think we're going to pick this up on Wednesday. Next Sunday that I'm with you, we'll pick it up and continue then. But in Genesis 1, and in preparing, when God said, go to Genesis 1, I'm like, well, that's not where I thought you were going. And he said, well, that's why you're not God. All right. I have these If someone came in on me while I was studying, you'd swear there were two or three people in the room with me. Because I talked to God out loud. Hey, if he's always with me, and he's always with you. Let's read verse 26 through 28 together in Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So see, since we're made in God's image and after his likeness, whose character traits should we reflect? God's. Good. Deacon Williams says everybody gets an A. All right. But did you ever wonder why God chose to make us in his image and after his likeness? Because when he asked me that question, I had to stop and I had to just think for a moment. You know, I said, God, I've said that I don't know how many of times. I've read it even more. And no, I never stopped to think, well, why did you choose to make me in your image and after your likeness? And he said, the answer is in verse 28. So I looked at verse 28 again, and I had to look at it a couple of times. Okay. And then I saw, it said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. And I said, oh, have dominion. Subdue it. See, God created everything on this earth to submit to him. So anyone that, or anything that he was going to authorize to have dominion had to be recognized as being him. Or had to be so closely identified with him, it's like when you were speaking, they heard him. And so he said, ah, my man is going to have dominion over everything concerning this earth. As Brother Archie shared this morning. Everything concerning the earth. So they have to act like me. Because earth will respond to me, and earth will respond to them when they act like me. So he had to make us in his image and after his likeness so we would be exactly like him. Look at Romans 8. I'm going to share this in the Amplified Bible. And I'm going to start with verse 19. And I'll read to verse 21. It says, for even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Waits for the revealing and disclosing of their sonship. For the creation, nature was subject to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it, yet with the hope that nature, creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption, and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. Amen. Well, folks, that's us. Amen. God made us in his image and his likeness, so that means everything that we do, all of our activities, all of our actions, all of our thoughts should be reflective of the Godhead. Amen. Because that's the image and likeness that he made us after. That was the form for us. Remember, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And the Bible tells us, you know, in Philippians, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. So God expects that we're going to act like Christ and thereby act like him. Not in some things, all things. In everything. But now let me ask you this question. I may ask you a few questions this morning. Hope you've been brushing up. Okay. Is it possible that because we, yes, we're made in the image and likeness of the Godhead, but we live and move and react within this world and this world system? Is that not so? So is it possible that in all those interactions, we pick up some different character traits? Okay. And some of the, are some of those character traits possibly contrary to God?
Yes.
So does that mean that we have the ability, and actually sometimes do, act in a manner that is not representative of who we are in Christ? Okay. What about the rest of you? Folks, it's okay. And so I guarantee no lightning bolts are going to come through and get you if you agree to the truth. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, the truth is we pick up habits. And the habits that we pick up aren't necessarily what God wants seen in us, his children. And they can even be detrimental to our growth. So God, in his infinite wisdom, had to come up with a plan, had to come up with a procedure, had to devise a control so that his man would not only reflect accurately who he is and what he's like, but would also put us in the proper position so that we can receive, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over everything that moves in it. He had to make sure that we were properly positioned. Let me just do this little illustration. Sure, I mean, Eric, would you come help me? Mike, would you mind? No, all right. Very, very simple, because it's very important to be in the right position. Okay, this baseball season just started. Yeah, Yankees, I thought they were losing. They scored 14 runs in 2 innings. Okay, and won the game. Okay, but we're going to have a little baseball game. Would you mind being the pitcher?
That's fine.
Okay, you'll be the catcher?
Sure.
Okay, so he's going to stand right here. We're getting ready to start. Okay, we have the pitcher. We have the catcher. Okay, I'm the batter. I'm the batter's box. I'll bat lefty, even though I'm right-handed. Okay, but notice what... Go ahead. No, please do it. Okay, notice what Eric did. He immediately got in the right position so that the pitcher can deliver what he's supposed to deliver, and he's in the right position to receive it, and everything can move on. If he's not in the position and he's just standing like this, everything stops. He can't receive, the game can't move on because he was out of position. Thank you both. Okay? So it's very important that we are in the proper position so that we can receive, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion over it, subdue it. That means it has to listen. And as was shared, I started to run over and make sure my notes were still on my desk when Archie was ministering this morning. Because I'm like, if there's things going on in this world that doesn't line up with God's word, it's not God's fault. The folks that he created in his image and after his likeness aren't exercising dominion and is not subduing. And what does subdue mean? Keep under control. So when things are out of control, it's because the children of God have not revealed themselves. They haven't stepped out of the closet. They haven't said, hey, wait a minute. This isn't what my father says should happen. So God had to put some controls in, because if we take that attitude, it's because we've allowed ourselves to become contaminated.
Amen.
Just by moving in and among this world and operating in this world system. We start to believe what this world system says.
Amen.
That's what God will say. When you hear the word, go and get a tape, because then they were doing tapes. Now go get a DVD. I want you to put it in. I want you to listen to it constantly. You know, he calls it meditating on his word day and night, observing to do all that's written therein. We call it an annoyance, because the other things that I want to do instead of sitting here listening to this tape. But we'll watch an infomercial, and the person will say, 5 easy payments of $19.99. You get this set of CDs. And you put it in your car as you're going to work and going from work, and learn how to turn your fortune into $1 million by flipping houses or doing something else. We'll get it. We'll go to our car. We'll put that sucker in. And every time we're going out, we're listening to it. We're like, oh, this is good. Oh, I never heard that before. Well, God is the one that said, meditate on his word day and night and observe to do, and you will make your way prosperous.
Amen.
And you'll have good success.
Amen.
We don't believe it when God says it, but the world will come up with it, and we'll act like it's a startling revelation. It's like, how could I be so dumb? All I got to do is keep listening to this, and I'll get all the principles and learn how to operate in them and get results. God said it first. So he needed to put in some controls so that we don't just grow all over the place, okay? And so that we're always in a position to receive all that he wants. And then something very startling hit me. It's been prophesied, Brother Copeland came, I believe we were burning the mortgage that day when he came and shared that, or was it the 5th anniversary when he shared about Seoul, Korea. It was 1985, yeah. where he said by the Spirit of God, I will make this place greater than the church in Seoul, Korea, if you let me. That was the word that came from God to this church back in 1985. Probably some in here that were born after that. Okay. But after he said that, he sent someone else in 1988, Brother Dick Mills. And Dick Mills said, there is a purging, pruning, polishing, perfecting, and purifying taking place. To the flesh, it is painful, but to the overall body, it's a key to power. And I started thinking, okay, God, why did you send him to say that? Specifically, there's a purging, a pruning. That means there'll be some things that have to cut away. Why? Well, obviously, there were some attitudes, some behaviors, some thoughts that God knew was not healthy for this congregation to grow to greater than the church in Seoul, Korea. So he wanted to let us know that he had some gardening to do. And it wasn't because he was mean or cruel. It wasn't because he didn't want us to have fun. But he wanted us to be fruitful, to multiply, because it was said that we're going to spread, you know, to what did it say, to the east and the west, or, you know, what it, we keep looking in one direction. He said, I mean, we're just going to branch out. But it's going to require some pruning, because there's some attitudes, there's some opinions, there's some thoughts, there's some behaviors that are not consistent with be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. It's not consistent with growing in size. It's not consistent with being able to replenish this area where he placed us. And when I say this area, I don't just mean Nanuet. You think about where you live. That's an area where he expects that we are fruitful, we multiply, we replenish, we have dominion, and we subdue wherever he plants us. Wherever. Whether we're there in mass or as an individual. Because he didn't say it's only going to work if there are at least 100 of you. No, wherever we find ourselves, that still applies. But there's some things that he has to get out of the way. So he sent Dick Mills by here to share that with us, just so that we would understand that there's some things that we need to do. Little note I had to write myself because it popped up. One of the things, remember I said how many of you have had thoughts and, you know, where you thought things were going to go? Well, I had a plan just like everyone else. You know, and it wasn't my plan A. It was a plan that just happened. You know, and real quick, you all know I played basketball, and I didn't grow up with professional basketball aspirations. I didn't. I didn't have a desire to be a professional athlete. I don't know why, I just didn't. I didn't even know there was a sport called basketball until I was a freshman in high school. Like, how can you see those things? Yeah, I didn't know what they were. He said, come on now, you are black, right? Like, yeah, I am. Okay. But I didn't know. And I never saw anyone playing on them. For 15 years. Okay. And I got talked into going to a basketball tryout as a freshman in high school. Now, I know what it was. So, come on, we're going to try out. For what? Basketball. Okay. And it was something that the coach said that made me want to learn how to play. He said, Carr, you are, and he said this publicly in front of everybody. Because that's how he felt good about himself. But he said, Carr, Gregory Carr, you are the lousiest excuse for an athlete I've ever seen. He said, a fairy godmother couldn't turn you into a basketball player. That's what he said to me in front of everybody. And I'm looking at him, and I'm looking around, and there's no place I can go and crawl into. Hide under. And so I walk out of the gym and I'm like, I'll show him. I left the school, transferred to another high school, and then I started finding out what basketball is, and I learned how to play the game. And I made the team as a senior and started. We went back to Thomas Edison and beat them by 40 points. I had 17 points and 30 rebounds. Blocked 10 shots. Wouldn't shake the coach's hand. Okay. Wouldn't shake his hand. All right. And that's how I started playing. But then folks started telling me that I was good and that I should be playing here and should be playing there, and I still didn't go. I got invited. I met someone, you know, this guy that coached, and he said, "Footy, you need to come over here and play with us." I thought it was just a game. I walk in and I see all these professional athletes there. And I was just like you. I'm like, "That's Nate Archibald. No, I can't play with them." And he's like, "They're just people. That's all. Yes, you can." And so I started playing. Now thoughts are coming in, because everyone is saying you should be here and you should be there, and offers started coming in, but none of them panned out for some reason. I didn't know God was pruning it away. But that's what he was doing, because that would have taken me down a different path. And it would have been detrimental to my health and well-being. And God said no. And I had to allow no. And then I understood, well, you know something? He's the one that did not put the desire in my heart in the first place. Because he knew what he had planned for me before I was formed in my mother's womb, and it's no different with you. Look at John 15. Please. I'm going to read verses 1 to 8, and then I'm going to take you down a little path. John 15. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's saying, "I am," beginning with verse 1, chapter 15. I apologize, I'm going verse 1 to verse 8. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine." Just got a little HGR. You know, if you don't remember that, that's a little Holy Ghost revelation. Jesus said, I didn't see this until just now. Wow. "The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine." You know what that means, folks? What we sometimes do, we don't like where God placed us. And so we won't wait to see if he's going to prune us. We break away. Now, you realize, you know, this thought came in, but not in this context. How many of you have ever, you know, you're dealing with a plant and a piece of it falls off? And you don't take it and throw it away. You set it in some water. And what happens? Gets new roots, and you plant it somewhere else. We do the same thing. We won't like God's program in a certain area, and so we will break away. And we can't make it on our own. We have to be connected to something. So we will reroute ourselves. And when we reroute ourselves in something that's not part of God's plan, whose plan is it? And who's motivating us? So we wind up connecting ourselves to the enemy's vine. And the fruit we bear is his, not God's, Because we chose to break away. We don't like the direction of this vine. So I have to do something about it. So I pull away and I reroot myself. I become rooted and grounded in me. But as we learned this morning, God still doesn't turn his back on us. You know, there was this comedian, Sinbad. Still is, he's not dead. And he told his story about something with his mother that he'd do when he'd run. And he said he'd see this long rubber hand coming down the street, just grabbing him. And he said, snatch me back from three blocks away. Okay. Well, we can't run far enough or hide far enough from God. No matter what we do, he's going to be right there to snatch us back. The problem is we're sometimes like that two-year-old sitting in the barbershop for his first haircut. He sees those clippers coming and he's like moving his head all over. I mean, that's what we do. Is Dad has to come and hold him down in place to allow that hair to be pruned. Okay, that's the way we are sometimes because we don't like the direction the vine is going. And so we develop some things, and Father, in his love for us, says, this has to be snipped off, and we keep moving around so the shears won't get us. Okay. But I know you have this picture of yourself. You see the shears coming, right? I mean, everybody, when you start thinking about it, you begin to see things that you know God is trying to prune, and you keep moving so he can't find you. We think he can't find us. All right. No, he finds us. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. And see, and the reason he said in me is because he's talking to his disciples. And if you're his disciple, you should be abiding in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. In other words, you connected to me. I'm not connected to you. You are connected to me, and you want to keep that protocol in place. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Why? Because when you abide in him, and you let his words abide in you, when you speak, it's like God speaking, and everything except humans listen to God immediately. Immediately. When we are in the right position, when we speak, things will happen as if God said it. Because he did. He just said it through you. Okay? Herein is my Father glorified. See, if that's not happening, God doesn't get any glory. And if he doesn't get any glory through the actions of his children, what about those that are not his children? Will they recognize that this is God? And he's the one, and he's the truth, and he's the way. How is he going to recognize that if those that are saying they're his children are scraggly, disobedient, all over the place? That's why God prunes. That's why he prunes. Okay? Listen to this. I did a lot of reading. I learned more about pruning and things faster than I've known in a lifetime. All right. The control God put in place is pruning. He calls it pruning because in horticulture, pruning is the removal or reduction of parts of a plant, tree, or vine, listen to this, that are uncalled for, all right, or not necessary to growth or production, are no longer visually pleasing. I have a poinsettia every year because our flower person, we call her the plant lady. She says, oh, no, 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 you keep this poinsettia. It's going to go through a period where it's going to look horrible. And you're going to want to throw it away, but just stay there, keep it, it will come back. I still haven't figured out how to do it. And every year about this time, I look at this plant and I'm like, this is the ugliest looking thing I've ever seen in my life. Nothing's coming back. And I decided at this point, I said, nope. I found out what's wrong. It needs a place where it gets a lot of light in order for it to happen. Hello? The entrance of his word giveth light. I wasn't giving this, even though I was giving it food, you know, I was speaking to it, it wasn't getting light. It could not live. So I have to throw it away, and I'll start over again next Christmas, but now I know it has to get light. But it's when things are no longer visually pleasing or are detrimental to the overall health or development of the plant, it gets pruned. It gets cut away. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch, every attitude, every behavior. What attitude? Who does she think she is? Ooh. He's to be cut off in a hurry. In a hurry. Do you know Pastor had the nerve that... Nope. That needs to be cut off, okay? You don't want to finish that. I can't stand those in my neighbor. Nope. That needs to be pruned away. I don't feel like getting up and praying. It needs to be pruned away because it's detrimental. It's something that's uncalled for. And if it's not pruned away, you'll wind up growing out of control. How can you say that? You'll just be doing what you want to do. And you'll have no controls. How many of you had children? It's okay, you can admit it. Okay. How many of you put controls in place so that they can only go but so far? Well, ask yourself why you did that. And that's the same reason God does it with us. He knows that we have to be restricted. Because if not, we'll be all over the place into everything, and we'll wind up doing behaviors that are not representative of the family. We've told our children, you don't want to bring shame on the family. So we don't do this. So we tell them, in the Carr family, we don't do this. That's not what we do, and here's why. Well, in God's family, we don't do this. It's not what we do, and here's why. You won't be fruitful. You won't multiply. You won't replenish the earth. You won't have dominion. You won't subdue anything. You won't be in position to receive all I have because you've allowed some things to grow and you won't let me prune them away. I saw something very interesting when I started looking about the purpose for pruning. The purpose. To train a plant. Prune it. To train it. You know, letting it, you think it knows how to grow. Yeah, it does, and there's some things it will instantly or normally do, but you may want it to go in a different direction. So you prune it, so instead of it going like this, it'll go like this. It'll get used to it, because every time it goes like this, oh, I lost a nut, you know what? Forget this, I'm going to keep going in this direction, all right? To maintain health. There's some things that become diseased. There's some things that we go through life, and like I said, we get contaminated. And if God doesn't prune us, we'll be like those creatures in water worlds where all of the simple little bacteria and things, because it couldn't handle it, they die. See, we think we can play around with sin and survive because we think it won't happen to us. I mean, it's just like folks that will sit there, thank you, and they'll smoke 6 packs a day. And then think that, no, I've seen the commercials about emphysema. I've seen the commercials, folks speaking through a hole in it. That's not going to happen to me. And they find themselves in the same position. And then they wonder, how did this happen? Because they didn't allow God to prune those things away. And it was detrimental to their health. To improve the quality of the flowers or the fruit. God wants us to be the best believers possible. And if he allows us to become overgrown, We won't produce the quality that we should, because when you're overgrown, everything's not getting the light that it needs. And so he can't allow, see, God can't allow me to grow to the point where you don't get any light. We call that being full of ourselves and being high-minded. We do. You know, that's why God said, don't ever think more of yourself than you ought to. Right? Because when you do, you start seeing them come at you. And don't move. Let them slip it off. Because you know you're going to be better. And pruning restricts growth. Restricts. You say, why would God want to stop us from growing? It's not so much that he wants us to stop us from growing. It's what we're trying to grow into that he's restricting. Because see, if I had grown into professional basketball player, I wouldn't be Pastor Greg. I'd probably be the late Gregory Carr because of some of the things that I allowed myself to get involved in. But God in his wisdom pruned them, and me not really understanding what was going on, let him. Because I didn't know what was happening. All I knew is that the desire that I had to play left. And it made no sense. See, sometimes the desire goes after your ability goes. And so you say, and you know what I mean? And like, you can't do anymore. You say, well, I don't want to do this anymore anyway. No. I was still able to play at the same level, but I just didn't want to. And I didn't understand it. God was restricting. And I had to let him. Now, God wants us to be fruitful and multiply, as I said, and we have to submit to his pruning. In John 15:1, because you have to understand this. What does Jesus say in verse 1 of John 15? He said, I am the... Why do you have to say that? Why couldn't he just say, I'm the vine? He said, I am the true vine. And I'm like, why did he have to say that? Well, John 4, 1 John 4, you don't have to go there. Don't trust every spirit, dear friends of mine, but test them and discover whether they come from God or not. For the world is full of false prophets. 2 John, just write it down, 1. This is a message Bible. There are a lot of smooth-talking charlatans loose in the world. Smooth-talking. Okay, butter won't melt in their mouth. All right. See, that's not true. The reason you think butter won't melt in their mouth is you're not willing to wait. Well, you put butter inside a body that's 98.6 degrees, guess what it's going to do? Melt eventually. But we're so anxious, we won't wait. So that's why we say butter doesn't melt in their mouth. Yeah, it does. Right? There are a lot of smooth-talking charlatans loose in the world who refuse to believe that Jesus Christ was truly human. How many of you, he's a thought, he's an idea, but he couldn't have been a person. Come on, think, use your brain. How can a person come back from the dead? How can that happen? He started thinking about it. Yeah, how can that happen? Well, cut that off, all right? A flesh and blood human being, give them their true title, deceiver or antichrist. See, so Jesus is saying, I am the true vine, because by definition, if you look up that word true in the concordance, it's not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. That's one of the reasons why he has to prune us. He doesn't want us to just talk with our mouth and say, I'm a believer. He wants our lives to display the true nature of what being a believer is. And to do that, he has to prune away things that being a believer ain't. All right? I know it's is not, but ain't. All right? Pruning will help us to see not only who Jesus really is, it'll also help us understand who we really are. Just from allowing God to cut away things that are not representative of Him. Since we're made in His image and after His likeness, so anything that doesn't have to do with Him, He needs to cut off. And when you think of it, well, I'm not going to say that because he didn't tell me to say it. I'd have been meddling. I'd prune that away. If we don't allow God to prune us, we won't change.
Amen.
We won't change. And we'll be walking around wondering, that, Father, you said that if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. He said, yeah, you have to allow me to snip, snip, snip to put you in that form. That's why we find ourselves still doing the same things 10 years after we've been saved. Because we don't allow the pruning away. It's almost because we realize, well, I'll talk about me. I realized at one point I was learning things too quickly, and I said, boy, at this rate, God is going to give me a whole lot of responsibilities. I ain't reading anymore. That was my plan. Stop reading, stop studying, stop praying, grow stagnant. God can't use you. You see how that works, right? Okay. As was shared this morning, God in His love, He's not going to allow you to stay. He's going to keep at you until there's no more breath in your body. Because He feels eventually you're going to let the shears get to you and all that stuff will be pruned away and you will be able to become exactly who He wants you to be. Okay? So Jesus is saying He's the real deal in looks, words, actions, in every way. And that's what He wants from us, in every action. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, if we want to understand that, we need to know what it means by fruit. See, we're thinking, like I did, apples and pears and, you know, bananas and all that is fruit, and it is fruit. But again, if you look in the, when you look in the concordance, when it's talking about fruit, the fruit of one's loins, his offspring, that which originates or comes from something, it's an effect, a result. And listen to this: fruit, works, acts, deeds. Works, acts, deeds. To gather fruit, like reap a harvest, it's talking about doing things, communicating things that cause people to receive eternal life. I'm not making this up. You go to Strong's Concordance and read those definitions. And Jesus said that He wants us to bear much fruit. Much fruit. The Amplified Bible says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, any branch in me that does not act and speak in a manner that causes others to be saved, He cuts away, trims off, takes away, and He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues. And I'm inserting to act, to talk, to say things and do things that will cause others to be saved, to make it bear more, richer and more excellent. Any branch in me, I'm going to read it without my inserts. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, He cuts away, trims off, takes away, and He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. So if we refuse to submit to the pruning, we'll be pruned away. See, one of the things, and God gave it to me in Jeremiah, that's why you hear me say it. If I say I won't pull any punches or you'll pull me from the lineup, that's what it says in Jeremiah. And that's what He told me to say. But now I want to talk a minute about training. I'm going to unhook shortly. training, and this is according, again, I read this, it was in this one of these articles I read on pruning. Training does not suggest or recommend. Because it said training dictates the development and growth. And we have a problem with that word, dictate. You dictate to me. The pastor thinks they're going to dictate to me where I should go or what type of movie I should watch. Training does not suggest, training does not recommend, it dictates. That's what training does. You are dictating, this is the way it needs to be. It emphatically says, this is it. That's what training does. Can you imagine the state of our military if they went through basic suggestions? Okay. Instead of basic training? And it wasn't mandatory that they learn these life-saving techniques? Can you imagine what would happen to them? So we have to understand we're being trained. Pruning is training, and it ain't a democracy. It's a dictatorship. God is saying, like he goes, you don't need that. You're like, what? But I like that. Like, you know something? Now that you said that, you don't need this either. Like, ah. No. Okay. But we have to allow it. You can't keep running. Look at Isaiah 46. We just have three more verses. The trainer knows. Say the trainer knows what's necessary. Okay. And we all know God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But in Isaiah 46, verse 9, I'm going to read verse 9, I think, to 11. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So God already knows the difference between where we are and what he has planned for us. We can't see that. He does. And he prunes according to the vision he has concerning us. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Why? I see things that you can't see. You don't know what's coming. I'm omniscient. I know everything. You need to go with my pruning and not your plan.
Amen.
Isaiah 48. If you didn't get to Psalm 32, it's okay. Isaiah 48, verses 16 to 19. And this is in the Message Bible. And now the Master, God, sends me in his spirit with this message from God, your Redeemer, the Holy of Israel. I am God, your God, who teaches you how to live right and well. I show you what to do, where to go. God says he will show us what to do and he will show us where to go. That means we shouldn't be deciding what we're going to do or where we're going to go. We need to find out how we fit into the mold of his plan for us. If you had listened all along to what I told you, your life would have flowed full like a river, blessings rolling in like waves from the sea, children and grandchildren are like sand, your progeny like grains of sand. There would be no end to them, no danger of losing touch with me. Just by letting God show us by letting God prune us to look like, to move into, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion, subdue it. And the last point that I want you to understand, and I'm going to stop. There's a difference between pruning an apple tree and pruning a vine. They're different. Some of us may be trees. Some of us may be vines. And even if we're all vines, the procedure for pruning is dependent on the type of vine. There's a difference between pruning a grapevine and pruning a watermelon vine. There's a difference. Sometimes when you prune vines, you have to tie things up. You're like, I don't want to be tied up. God didn't ask you if you wanted to be. He's telling you, you need to be. What's my point? We don't want to get bent out of shape because you're experiencing how God is pruning you, but you're looking at how he's pruning someone else, and you're wondering why you have to go through that. And they don't. Well, just like the lovely Mrs. McCallum had a word. Okay. Let me take you over to 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'm going to close with this, in the Message Bible. Because remember, God expects us to have dominion and authority here, which means the earth has to recognize and respect who we are in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 to 12 in the Message Bible. Stay calm. Mind your own business. Okay. Do your own job. You've heard all this from us before, but a reminder never hurts. We want you living in a way that will command the respect of outsiders, not lying around sponging off your friends. So God is saying, forget what you think I might be doing with someone else. Put all your efforts on what I'm doing with you and mind that. And you will find that everything will respect who you are in Christ. Questions or comments? That are based on this lesson. Not something you thought and forgot to come down 2 weeks ago. Don't come and say, may I obey God? Put me in a position where I say, no. All right. If you have a question or comment about being pruned, you know, please come and share it now. Yeah. You have one? Oh, I thought you were getting up. Oh, you're just repositioning. Praise the Lord. Do we understand? We have to allow God to just prune. Like he will. You see the movie Edward Scissorhands? Okay, God just had those, right? And then when he was finished, you saw these masterful creations. But that's what God wants from us. We're already his master. The Bible says we're his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for what kind of works? Good works. So we have to just let him have his way. And stop looking at it. You know, ladies, how many of you gone and you want to hit your hair cut and cut it and you saw how much fell off and you're like, what are you doing? Right? Well, see, that's what we look at when God prunes and we see, you know, sometimes we don't mind. He can take a little bit of my fingernail off. That's fine. I didn't need that anyway. But we look at what he lops off and we're like, no, I like this. And he's like, that's why I have to get rid of it. Because you like this more than you love me. Right? He prunes. Prunes. You know, if God has showed you, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. If God has shown you that there are areas that he's been trying to prune, and you've been resisting, would you just stand where you are? You don't have to come out here. Just stand where you are. I told him, I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. He said, you better do it. He said, not doing it is pulling your punches. And what did I say would happen if you did that? Come on, don't think, oh, all these people are going to see me. See, one of the things that he prunes away is fear. No, I'm serious. Because fear says, I don't have dominion and authority. So I can't let anybody know. And pride says, I heard that, honey, thank you. Pride, and those listening to this, and when I said, honey, I was speaking to my wife. Okay. Pride says, no, don't let anyone know because they'll think less of you. And you need to let, you want them to think that you're a super Christian. No, you're obedient Christian. Okay. So whatever it is, just stand. That's all. And the reason I'm still saying it, because they're saying, thank you, that there's some others. God wants you to just stand. He said, this is your first step in allowing yourself to be pruned. You're just acknowledging, God, I know you've been trying to prune, and I've been moving out of the way. I've been dodging and ducking, and you know, like you're running from a linebacker or something, a football game. And God is saying, no, just stand up. See, he said something to Moses when Moses was standing with the nation of Israel, and they saw the Red Sea at their backs, and they saw the entire Egyptian army and its chariots coming down, coming right at them. And they didn't know what to do. And God said, stand still and see the salvation that he will show you today. For the Egyptians that you see, you'll see them no more forever. That's why he asked you to stand, because it's representative of you standing still and allowing him to prune off everything that he wants to prune off of you in a manner that's comfortable to you. Because it's comfortable to you, you'll receive it. And you'll appreciate it and you'll cherish it. But if you keep moving and he's trying to prune, something may get lopped off that you don't want. So he wants you to just stand still. And he said, yeah, I never thought of that, Lord. He said, if you have to move, move your arms up into the air and move your lips up and down, giving him praise and thanksgiving for just shaping you, changing you into his image. We sing that song, changed into his image by the Spirit of God. From glory to glory, he's making me all more holy as I'm changed into his image by the Spirit of God. That's what's happening as you allow him to just prune you. And everything that's there, no matter what, there isn't anything that we do that's so terrible that God won't prune away. And once he prunes it away, it's like it never happened. Never. There's one more person he's waiting for. I don't know who you are, and I didn't ask him to give me your name. I don't like to do that. Okay. Not okay. No, he said, thank you for those that stood. He said, but there's someone else, and I have to go with what he said. You know. Don't you thinking, okay, if I just wait long enough, did you just stand? Okay, thank you. And don't everyone say, oh, it was her. Mind your own business. I'm not trying to be funny, because we do that sometimes. All right? We need to understand this is a God thing.
All right.
He wants you all to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to subdue it, to have dominion, and to be in position to receive everything that he has for you. And by standing and acknowledging today, you've placed yourself in that position. You've placed yourself in that position. And whatever it is, that you're now allowing him to prune, you won't even miss it. You'll be so thankful that he did it. Father, we just thank you for continually displaying your love for us. Father, your unfailing love for us. The songs that we sing are true. It doesn't matter how high or low we think we are. You're right there with us to keep us and to cause us to fulfill all that you have said concerning us. So we thank you, Father, and we rejoice with these people that have acknowledged that they've been resisting your pruning, that they now understand that they have to allow you to be the true vine dresser. Just as Jesus is the true vine, you are the true vine dresser, because you're the only one with the perfect plan for our lives. Thank you, Lord, for just lopping away everything that's not of you, so that all of creation will see that these are your children, and they will get the respect from all creation that they deserve as children of God. Up until now, they may have been experiencing some Sons of Sceva episodes, but once all this is pruned away, it will be no doubt they are your children. And they will get the respect that they're entitled to as children of the Most High God. Thank you for them, Father. And those standing, just say this. Father,
I submit
to your pruning today and forevermore. Thank you for loving me.
You may be seated.